Take our Bibles and go to 1 Samuel. Well, I wanted to give that to you as a preface to what I'm going to preach on now. Out of all of the stories in the Bible, I believe that the story of the birth of Samuel is probably the greatest illustration given in the Scriptures to prove faith promise. Let's stand together as we read some Scripture. Many of you are familiar with the story of Samuel and his birth. A man by the name of Elkanah, there in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 2, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And I want you to, if you're taking notes, just write down, underline, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, which was the other woman, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, his wife, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Then Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And this is what she said to the Lord. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord, notice this phrase, all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Notice, she ate. And her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord, notice the words, remembered her. You might want to underline that. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see the truths that are in your word so clearly given to us on how we can give something that you give to us. Lord, you are the great provider. You are the one that longs for us to live by faith and to trust you. Please help us. Give us a greater degree of faith. Help us to live by faith. Help us to believe you for things that we can't even imagine in our own strength accomplishing, knowing, Lord, that you're the one that does all great things. We thank you, Lord, for your church, the Castlegar Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry and for the missionaries that are being supported and the missionaries that are going to be taken on. Oh God, I pray that we could reach this world. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wanting something to give. Wanting something to give is the title of my message. I really believe that in the heart of every Israeli woman during those days was to possibly give birth to the Messiah. Children were a heritage, and the Bible says they are a heritage of the Lord. And you're blessed if you have your quiver full of them. I'm not going to say how many are in the quiver, but you can work that all out. The point is that there's something that God wanted to do in our lives, and the only way he can do it is if we let him. We are not robots. Now, sometimes we may act like it. We come to church when the doors are open and we sit there and leave as empty as we came in. Not because we weren't fed, we just didn't eat. Has that ever happened to you? I remember growing up, my dad's a preacher, and I didn't want to be a preacher, never intended to be a preacher, wanted to be anything but a preacher. And so for many years of my life, I just sat there bored out of my mind. After I got saved, I became a bit more interested, but I never wrote anything down. And I regret that because I could have gleaned so much more from my dad as he preached. He was a good preacher. But so much of it just went in one ear and out the other, never hit the heart. And they say that when a preacher preaches, everybody only gets about 3% of what he preached. Now, do you know why we preach so long? But we preach because we want to see God do something in your life. We want to see God bring you to that place where you're longing to give back to God as he has blessed and prospered you. In Hannah's situation, the Bible says, just like he did with Sarah, it's interesting, he had shut up her womb. She was unable to have any children. And this was a burden that was on her heart. And I want to just go ahead and just give you a very simple outline. There are basically six small statements that I want you to write down in the flyleaf of your Bible there by the verses that I give to you. Number one, we have, first of all, a barren bride. A barren bride. She was burdened because she was barren. You know, some people don't care if they give anything to God. A lot of people are takers. But when you get to the place in your life where you want to do something to show your love and appreciation for God, there's amazing how you will be motivated to say, Lord, what can I do for your great cause? No missionary becomes a missionary by sitting back and saying, let somebody else do it. What happens is when a missionary gets excited about what God's done in their life, they eventually surrender and say, Lord, I want to go do that. I want to go out and reach the regions beyond. And every person that's ever been called of God into the service of the Lord has come to the place where they feel like there's so much more that I could do. And we don't need to be a barren church. We don't need to be a barren Christian. We need to be producing for the cause of Jesus Christ. Not only did she have a burden to, because she was barren, but also she was burdened because she was being bothered. This other woman in their lives was making fun of her and ridiculing her. And I've got kids, you don't. You know, there was a heartache there where there was a battle raging because she was being mistreated, which made her feel like, you know, I can't have any children. And for a woman not to be able to have children in those days specifically were difficult, very difficult. And you can read the story about Sarah and what they went through there and how the Lord ultimately opened up Sarah's womb and she conceived and bare a child. But in this particular setting, we find that she was burdened because she was being bothered. But also she was burdened because she had nothing to give. She had no child that she could give to the Lord. Number two, not only do we see a barren bride, but secondly we see a begging bride. A begging bride. You know, you can sense the pathos in her life when she is there in the temple crying out to the Lord. You know, the Bible makes it clear that if we ask, we can receive. If we seek, we can find. If we knock, the door will be opened unto us. And we find her asking of the Lord for a child. Notice with me there in verse 11. In verse 11, and she vowed a vow. She said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thy handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Now that's quite a statement. You know, many people haven't they done this? They said, well, you know, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. And let's negotiate a deal here. Many people that do that never carry out what they said they would do. And God doesn't always make us do what we say we will do. He wants us to do it out of a willing heart. I remember one time we had a lady in our church and we had a special Sunday where we had what we called a Give It All Sunday, where we were doing some special projects around our church and we asked everybody a year in advance to give a whole paycheck. And one of the ladies came to me complaining. She goes, I don't think it's right that you should ask us to give a whole paycheck. And I said, it's only one paycheck. She goes, yeah, but I only get paid once a month. I said, then just cut that in by four. She goes, oh, no problem, no problem. She thought she had to give a whole month's wages. I'm glad I helped her figure that one out. But then I was kidding with her and I said, you don't need to give at all. She looked at me like, never has a pastor ever said, you don't need to give at all. And she said, what do you mean? She says, I'm going to give something. I said, no, you don't need to give anything. Because the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. So if you're not doing it cheerfully, you're going to lose the reward. She said, I'll do it cheerfully. She was a dear lady in our church. I don't think anybody probably gave any more than she did. But the point was that a year in advance, we shared that with the church. And you know, it was an amazing offering that God gave us. And we got so many things done around the church that needed to be done. All because everybody scheduled and planned. And when they came to that Sunday, it was like they didn't even miss it. God helped them to give it, and they had made preparations for it. It was amazing how when a person really wants to accomplish something for God, God always enables us to accomplish it. But we must come to that place in our lives where we begin to beg God for some things. I don't have time tonight, but I'm working on a message right now on crying unto the Lord. You'll find that many times in the Bible where people poured out their soul to God. They cried out to God. And there's a principle there. In almost every case where a person cried out to God, God answered. Now, if I knew that I could get a hold of heaven and God could answer Dan Knickerbocker, I think I'd do some calling. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before his ears. Can you imagine God hearing your prayer? Now, I know there are some prayers that don't get heard. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There have been times I've prayed and my prayer hit the ceiling and bounced down back at me. It didn't go any further than it could be heard. But boy, there have been times like Hannah's life. She begged God. She cried out to God. She made a commitment to God. And I want to tell you something. When you make a commitment to God, God makes a commitment to you. The Bible says if you'll delight, like the preacher said last night, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now the big question is, are the desires of God's heart the desires of your heart? Have we been able to come to the place in our lives where we are so in tune with God that when we say, Lord, what is it you want me to ask for? And then he tells us. How many of you, if you really could do this, you would text the Lord about some things? If you knew he would text you back, how many of you would text him? Well, there was such a thing before texting, and that was what we call praying. Good idea. You have not because you ask not. My dad told me one day, Daniel, get yourself a life verse. I said, what is that? He said, a verse that you absolutely like and love for your life. And I said, Jeremiah 33:3. What is it? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee, you ready? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what faith is. Faith is crying out to God for things that you don't even know you need, but as you're praying, God will tell you what you need. You will ask him for what you need. Isn't that kind of neat? God is so patient with us. He'll say, now this is what I want to give you. And he'll tell you what it is. And then you pray back to him and say, Lord, can I have that? Can I do this? Can I serve you? What happens with a missionary? They say, Lord, are you calling me to a mission field? And then all of a sudden, the Lord impresses upon their heart. I mean, it's a strong impression. It causes a person to say, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. This must be of God. And you know, when God leads and directs us in our giving, are you ready for this? He has to keep his word to us. God is not a liar. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? So I don't have to worry about God's part of the bargain. I need to just make sure I'm willing to do what he wants me to do. Amen. So here she is begging God. She's begging God. And Eli the priest, of course, misunderstands what's going on there, and he accuses her of being drunk. I want to tell you something. When a person gets to the place where they are pouring out their soul to God, they're crying out to God. No doubt tears were running down her face. She was praying. Her lips were moving, but she was not making any noise. And he thought she was drunk. That's pretty bad when the man of God can't tell whether a person's drunk or a person's in tune with God. Eli had his problems too, no doubt. We won't go there. But in this particular case, he rebuked her and she said, I'm not a daughter of Belial. I'm not a daughter of the devil. She said, I'm just crying out to God. And of course, Eli said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Number three. What was the first one? A barren bride. Number two, a begging bride. Number three, a believing bride. A believing bride. I want you to notice here in verse 17 that when Eli said to her, go in peace, that word peace is an amazing word. You see, Hannah was not at peace because she had not heard from the Lord yet. She was in turmoil. She was wondering, God, are you going to do this for me or not? I'm by faith trusting you to do this. And if you'll do this, I'll give this child back to you. But you know what? She didn't have peace up until that point right there. When he said to her, go in peace, and may the Lord grant you what you've requested. Look at verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way. And I want you to notice two things that happened because of peace. Notice, she started eating. And her countenance was no more sad. She became a believing bride. I want to tell you something. When you start believing God for things, you are going to see God do some great things. Amen. I was preaching in a youth camp up at the Galilean Baptist Church up in Connecticut. I was preaching to a bunch of teenagers. And man, I preached hard to them and said, oh God, get a hold of these kids' hearts. At the end of the week, I said, now, I want all of you to write my phone number down. They were like, why would I write your phone number down? I said, you're going to call me in 10 years and tell me you're still serving the Lord. They looked at me like, what? One girl, 13 years old, I said, how old will you be when you call me? She said, I'll be 23 years old when I call you. I said, all right. Out of 60 kids, one called me. Last year, 2015, she called me. So it was 2005, I was there. She said, is this Brother Knickerbocker? I said, yes. And she said, you don't know who I am. And I said, well, what do you have to say? She said, do you remember preaching at Galilean Baptist Camp? I said, oh, yes, I do. She said, well, you told me to call you in 10 years. I said, what are you doing with your life? She said, I just finished Bible college. I'm going to be a missionary. See, that doesn't happen by accident. That happens because she became a believing Christian. She believed that God could do it. When you get to the place where you have so much confidence in your God, you can sleep at night. You don't have to worry about anything. You pray about everything. And God gives you perfect peace. Isn't that precious? Yeah. See, that's what living by faith is all about. Getting to the place where you can go from being begging to believing. I know God's going to answer my prayer. She started eating. You know, have you ever gotten so burdened and so upset over things that you couldn't eat? That happened to me one time. One time. I remember, I got to tell you this, it's crazy. This lady came out of church one Sunday and boy, she let me have it. Yeah, I don't think you should have said that. But I went home. My stomach was just turning. I could not even eat. We sat down at the dinner table there. The phone was right here on the wall. And I'm sitting there. I couldn't eat. I was like, we prayed and everything. The phone rang right about the time I was supposed to eat. And I didn't even want to eat. This lady called me. She said, Pastor, would you forgive me? I am so sorry I talked to you that way. And my husband rebuked me when we got home. And I shouldn't have said that to you. And I was out of order. Would you forgive me? I said, of course. As soon as I hung that phone up, I had an appetite again. It was amazing. Isn't that something? Now listen, when God works everything out and you are trusting Him and you've gotten to that place where God has confirmed within your heart, it's going to be okay and God's going to provide and God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. You are a believing Christian. You are trusting God for not just one thing, but you're trusting Him for everything. Listen, as much faith as it takes for a missionary to go to the mission field, it takes just as much faith for the church member to grow in your spiritual life to be all that God intended for you to be. Many Christians live way below what God intended for their lives. They kind of just struggle through. They're miserable. They're unhappy. They've got to be pampered. And it's just amazing how when God gets a hold of somebody, they come in with a bound in their step, you know. They're excited about what God's doing and they're expecting God to do something. Believing that God is able. And oh, I want to tell you, she went home. She put faith in action. No doubt, Eli the priest encouraged her, and she didn't worry about it anymore. Her countenance was changed. I'm sure that her husband saw it. Said, wow, you okay? Looks like you're doing good. What happened? I have come to the place where I believe the Lord's going to take care of it. And I'm waiting on Him. See, that's what faith is. It's waiting on God to provide. Number four. So we have the barren bride, we have the begging bride, we have the believing bride. Number four, we have the bearing bride. Go with me to verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. Oh my. When she found out she was with child, oh my word. I don't know. I can relate. My wife, we've had two children. And my wife was so happy, so excited. Because my wife had 5 miscarriages. So when we had Joshua and Rebecca, boy, they were such a gift from God. And it was such the whole pregnancy. She was just glowing, just thrilled that God had allowed this to happen and that she was going to be able to carry full term. And it was just so exciting. There was an excitement in the air. And we were thrilled. The first one, I was scared to death, man. She woke me up in the early morning hours and she goes, it's time to go. I can't imagine how I ever got there. And I wasn't even bearing the child, amen? But it was exciting. There was a thrill about it. There was an anticipation about having a child. And oh, when I held Rebecca in my hands like this, I was like, wow. And boy, did we dedicate her to the Lord. If you want to hear her sing, go to Becca the Bargainer on YouTube. And you can hear her sing, B-E-C-C-A, the Bargainer. And she can sing precious songs to you. And you can enjoy her ministry and her life. I want to tell you something, folks. When we get to the place where we are bearing fruit. When we get to the place in our lives where we are no longer expecting something to happen, but it is happening, that's when your faith is in sight. That's when God puts the invisible visible. And He gives you the things that you need to do His work effectively. And you ever get to that place where you are so dependent upon God that you cry out to God and God gives you peace and you believe that He's going to do it when it happens. I can imagine Sarah, what was she, 99 years old? She's walking around with a baby. You can imagine how excited she was, huh? Thrilled that she was going to have a child. Oh, I want to tell you, there's something wonderful about bearing fruit for God's work. Amen? We know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those are wrapped up in one beautiful gift from God. And they're to be evident by our lives. Our faith has to be lived out. We've got to let people know what we've got. Amen? And it ought to be contagious. Christianity ought to be very contagious. People see it and they want it. Amen? Let me tell you something. Hannah was able to bear a child. The fruit of a believing life is so powerful. You know, my mom and dad, when they got married, they chose Matthew 6:33 as their life verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's three things in that verse. Let's go over it together here. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. That's we want that. We want salvation. Amen. The kingdom of God. And His what? Yeah, we ought to be living righteous lives. And then what does it say? And all these things shall be given unto you. The Bible says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what giving is. What you're doing is you're laying up the rewards of the Christian life. The fruit of your life is laid up because it's a gift to God. And every person that gets saved by the people you send out from this ministry to reach this world, the people that you reach around here or wherever you go, whether it be another country or whatever, on a missions trip, you are going to receive a reward for it. If it's done with the right motive, God is going to honor it and He's going to bless it. Now watch this. Number five, the bringing bride. The bringing bride. We notice in verse 24, she weans the child and then she took him up with her. She brought an offering to the Lord. She brought some bullocks. She brought an ephah of flour, a bottle of wine. But what else did she bring? She brought Samuel. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been for her? I told you, Lord, if you gave me this child, I'd give him back to you. And you gave him to me, so it's time. It's time for me to give you back what you gave me. Don't you think every time you give to the Lord's work, you're giving back what He gave you? Do you believe everything you receive is from the Lord? Do you believe everything you receive is His? Why is it so hard for us to give it then? We ought to be just ready to give it. You know, it's amazing how I love my wife. I try to give her what she needs. I'd like to give her everything she wants. I love my children. I don't give them everything they want. Hey, I taught my kids. Well, my dad taught me, so I taught my kids. I told my dad one time, I said, Dad, you know, he came to me and he said, hey, Daniel, would you like some new clothing? I thought he ran into some money. I said, yeah, well, you going to go buy me some clothing? He goes, why don't you get yourself a job? So I thought if it was good enough for me, it's good enough for my kids. Amen. I taught my kids to work. Amen. And you know, God just blessed them and God's provided. You know, when it comes to giving to God, I gave my children to the Lord. Now they're serving God. Amen. It seems like everything that God has given to me, I feel like if you want it, Lord, you can have it. And that's what she did. She literally gave her little boy back to the Lord. He moved in with Eli. That's a long story there. But you know what? Samuel lived the rest of his entire life until he died as one of the judges of Israel. Interesting, isn't it? Go with me to chapter 2, verse 21. In chapter 2, verse 21, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bare" how many sons? "Three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." See that? You can't outgive God. God gave her five children besides Samuel. I want to tell you something. You can't outgive your great God. What must we do? What must we do to accomplish more this coming year than we did last year? We have to have a plan. We have to exercise that plan. And we have to believe that God is able to do it. Now, I want to say this. If you don't exercise the plan, it'll just be another dead year where you won't accomplish hardly anything for the Lord. And we don't want that. Amen. I want to do more for God every year of my life until I meet Him. Now, I'm starting to slow down. I turned the big 6-0 this last week. So I'm getting up there. I had a 90-year-old man call me just a young pup. That felt good, but I know the reality of it all. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. So I may need to make up for lost time. What do you think? Let's give God our best. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that You would help each one to seriously think about what they're going to do, what they're going to give, what they're going to be for You. Wanting to give something to God. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone here that would say, you know, Brother Knickerbocker, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't even know for sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But man, I know I need to get that taken care of. It's been bothering me. And if somebody would show me from the Bible how I could be saved, I'd get saved tonight. Would you raise your hand and put it back down? Is there anyone that knows they need Jesus? How many of us can say we do know Jesus? Would you raise your hand? Many of you, that's great. Oh, listen, your life is so precious. Don't waste it. Don't waste your life. How many of you would say, you know, I feel sometimes like my life is barren, like there's no fruit in my life. I just seem to keep going on, but I'm not bearing fruit like I ought to. I'm going to ask you to start begging God, like Hannah did, to use you, to help you, to be the Christian that you should be, to be willing to do anything that the Lord would ask you to do. Begin begging Him to use you. And then start believing that He will use you. And I want to tell you something. Before you know it, God will be using you to bring your gifts to His great work. Let's stand together. The pianist is going to play.